Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer and it is Thursday. I actually delayed this recording a little bit because yesterday evening or afternoon, when does afternoon bleed into evening? This is not what I'm here to talk about. 19 hours ago, as I'm sitting here right now, our good friend Dave Quinn, author of Not All Diamonds and Rosé, multiple time guest on this very podcast, he tweeted a very cryptic, a very teasing 3 words. He just said, "Gird your loins." Now, first of all, this makes me think of Devil Wears Prada. But second of all, this makes me think that there is some major Bravo news on the way. And like I said, I delayed this recording a little bit because my loins have been girded for 19 hours. And I just know that the second I finish recording this episode, some news is going to drop. You know when you get that spidey sense, that little tingle in your spine where you're like, I have a bad feeling that something's going to happen. Not while I'm recording, because if it happens while I'm recording, you know, bookmark this spot. I'll get to it. But no, it's going to happen right after I like send off the file. Just a little too late for something to be added. But we'll see. My predictions that I'm sure won't age well right off the bat, or something to do with Alexis and John, maybe like an engagement, or do I dare say perhaps a pregnancy? I don't know. It could be Real Housewives of Atlanta casting. I feel like we're overdue for an update there. I mean, Portia announced her return to the show back in February, and other than Kenya confirming that she's staying, there hasn't been any other news on that front. It feels like the thing with Atlanta is it's frustrating because it feels like Portia was the first piece of the puzzle that they figured out for this sort of soft reboot. And they announced it right away. And then they had to figure out all the other puzzle pieces. And now it's been 2 months and I haven't even heard anything about them filming. I would imagine if they were, you know, filming group scenes out and about, we would be getting some inkling of that. What are we doing here? We got to get some momentum going for Atlanta. You know, New York has been in the Hamptons. That's exciting. I don't know. My loins are still girded, but they're getting a little sore. So hopefully not for too much longer. But whatever. If it happens today, we'll talk about it. If it happens not today, we'll talk about it. Not today. I don't know what to say. The news that we can talk about right now is that Sonia Morgan's townhouse is being put up for auction. This is really interesting news because Sonia, for over a decade on and off, has been trying to sell this piece of property. It's been listed at numerous different prices. Up until last week, I'm reading off of the New York Post. Up until last week, it was listed for $7.5 million. I think it's been listed above 10 in the past. In 2022, she relisted it for 8.75 before dropping it. This townhouse, it's beautiful, but it's a little weathered. It's a little well-loved. The thing with this townhouse is that objectively having a townhouse in the Upper East Side in Manhattan is you know, a fabulous thing, but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort and upkeep. And Sonia just has not necessarily been in the position to really be doing that for a long time. That's why she's tried to sell. That's why she's rented it out. And now she's auctioning it. So it's coming up for auction on May 29th by Concierge Auctions. The sale opens on May 15th. I don't know how auctions work. Apparently, though, there's no minimum, but beginning bids are expected to range between $1.75 million to $3.75 million, according to Paulina Kimball, who's the Vice President of Business Development at Concierge Auctions. So this is strange. Like, maybe it's not strange, but it's strange to me, somebody who's never looked into auctions of multi-million dollar pieces of property before. So there's no minimum required bid, but beginning bids are expected to be in this range. So I'm like, technically, I could go bid like $100. Fact check me in a 5-star review if you're an expert in real estate auctions. But I am truly so curious to see where the bidding ends up for this, because this 1.75 to 3.75, that's expected beginning bids. So in theory, if there are multiple bids, multiple bidders, it could go up from there. And I mean, there's a big difference between 1.75 million and what it was listed for up until last week at 7.5. Now, clearly, 7.5, there weren't any takers. You don't sell your house at auction if people are lining up to pay the asking price. That's just, you know, even from my real estate dummy perspective, I could tell you that that's not how it works. So this seems like a sort of last-ditch attempt. I don't know if something has changed with Sonia's finances. Right off the bat, I could tell you that she's not currently on a Bravo show, and I don't know when she will be again. So that is perhaps something that has changed with Sonia's finances. It's interesting that she's going this route, and I hope that she can get a good chunk of change at this auction. It is funny, like every time the townhouse sale comes up, it's like, oh, Bravo should buy it. Oh, like a Housewives fan should buy it. I personally don't have $1.75 million lying around. If any of you do and you want to like buy it and put it in my name, that would be cool. I do think it would be fun for Bravo to buy it, though I'm not sure that the current media landscape really is leading to that sort of like free cash flow to just buy property kind of on a whim. I don't know if Comcast, NBC Universal is really like in the business of of buying like a dilapidated Upper East Side townhouse, but it would be fun. Isn't it fun to think about that? You know, BravoCon's not happening this year. Why not go to the townhouse? Whatever. It is what it is. I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I want to talk a little bit about just a little bit of Top Chef updates, but I'm going to save that for later in the episode because, you know, there's spoilers afoot and I don't want people to have to turn off the episode if they haven't watched, what is it, last night's episode of Top Chef. But first, I want to talk a little bit about NYC prep because I touched on this last week when Peacock first opened the Bravo vault. I mentioned that NYC prep was my initial entry into the Bravo universe. And a lot of you responded, got a lot of comments, a lot of DMs that NYC Prep was similarly a touchstone for others, or, you know, people had revisited it over the years. So I just got done watching the pilot premiere episode of NYC Prep. And I think, as far as I can recall, I think it's my first time watching it since 2009. I don't really know even where I would have found it in between. I never like bought it on iTunes or anything. This show is so crazy to watch in the year 2024 because, okay, it's a one season show. It's 9 episodes. It feels like a little bit of a fever dream because watching it as an adult, these are actual children. The people on the show range between 15 and 18. It's like sophomores to seniors in high school. And watching it now, I mean, I'm around their age, maybe a little younger even. So when I was watching it in 2009, I'm like, oh, these are like cool grown-up-ish people. Watching it now, I'm like, oh my God. This is a child. This girl, Kelly, whose parents live in the Hamptons, so she stays in New York with her brother alone during the week. She is a child. Sebastian, who's a sophomore in high school, who's talking about hooking up with 2-3 girls a night or maybe more, and how there's naked pictures of girls he's had sex with floating around online. That is a, like, in the most literal sense of the word, a child. And so watching it, and I just have watched the first episode, so I haven't even gone through the whole season, but I have memories and, you know, there's like previews and stuff. It is such a mind fuck to watch a show that is like the template of Vanderpump Rules or a, you know, Southern Charm kind of show in terms of the drama, but it's 15 and 16 year olds. And this is one of those things where I'm like, truly, how did they get away with making this? And they could literally never now. And I'm a little surprised that they even got whatever corporate green light to put this on Peacock in 2024, just because I feel like there is such a like weird taste in the mouth that I'm like, oh my God, I'm watching two 16-year-old girls fight over this 15-year-old boy who's like speaking French to try and get people to hook up with him. I'm also like, what definition of hookup are we using? Because if he's saying he hooks up with 2 or 3 girls in a night, I'm like, is this like a little like dance floor makeout? I hope so. I mean, not to slut shame a former child. It just is super weird. But there, aside from the like weirdness of watching kids talk about having sex, there are so many good moments in this that are just like peak 2009, like wannabe proto influencer culture. Like watching Jessie, who's the senior girl who's friends with that, you know, bisexual guy, PC. I was going to say gay guy, but he was formerly married to a woman. We also have some like updates. PC got married a few years ago. He's divorced now, but Tiffany Trump was a flower girl in his wedding. What could be more correct? I'm surprised Tiffany Trump wasn't on this show. She probably wanted to. This was at the time her dad was all over NBC. Donald Trump probably blocked his daughter from doing this because he was like, no, Tiffany doesn't need the attention. If anything, they should have cast Ivanka. Okay, I got it. But Jessie's obsessed with fashion. And by obsessed with fashion, I mean that she's saying she's obsessed with fashion while she's trying on this like gray flannel shirt dress with a ginormous black like square belt. And she's talking about how like fashion is expression and it like it's such an important thing in New York. And she's just like Jenna Lyons. It's important that she doesn't wear all her labels at once. And it's super important to mix and match. It's like listening to people talk about fashion in this way is so funny because like then you see what they're wearing and it's like, okay, so you like walked into Ralph Lauren and we're just like, I want that, that, and that. I mean, I know the 2000s were a different time. I'm not going to begrudge anyone for wearing like 2000s clothes in the 2000s because didn't we all? I mean, I was in 2009, I was probably wearing like cargo shorts and like a graphic tee from JCPenney that had like some weird pun. What a time to be alive. Anyway, Jessie is super into Operation Smile, which it's like, of course, all of these people have to do charity. You know, Camille wants to get into Harvard. She needs service hours. She doesn't know what she wants to do. All she wants to do is get a perfect score on the SAT and go to Harvard. She ended up going to College of William and Mary, which like, obviously, no shade to College of William and Mary because that is a great school and whatever. But it is just, there's something like so... Listening to someone who is 15 or 16 talk about how the only thing they care about in life is going to Harvard, it's like, all I want is for you to like get some perspective, get knocked down a peg. And I feel like for her, going to College of William and Mary was probably what she needed in life. Camille is also now married with a child. Most of this cast is not super like online. Like I actually was surprised to see on Betches.com, we did a little bit of a where are they now? And for a lot of these people, it's like, where are they now? They are kind of nowhere. And I don't, that's not in like a, oh, they're nobodies. It's like, they're not keeping up a lot of social media presence. They're not trying to be influencers. They're like living their lives. I think Camille works at Arbonne, which is like a multi-level marketing beauty brand. So that's interesting. She like actually works there. She's not like a pyramid scheme mama in your Facebook DMs, but I don't know if that's better or worse to be like one of the people administering the MLM. Like it's better financially, I guess. I don't know if it's better like ethically. But anyway, what was the craziest part to me of this episode, though, was Taylor's whole situation. Now, Taylor, if you recall, is the poor, poor girl who goes to public school. And she goes to one of the best public schools in the country. It's literally like considered to be like a feeder for the Ivy League because it's such a good public school. But, you know, it's still, you know... practically going to school in a ditch compared to the rest of them. But she's planning a party because she wants to like keep up appearances. But the hard thing about her party is that she has to invite her public school friends, but then she also invites her private school friends, aka her NYC prep castmates. And I love that they're very like rigid with the fourth wall here, where like PC meets Kelly and like they hit it off and he's like, yeah, we did exchange contact information. And it's like, okay, like, yeah, you like got her number on the show, but you're also literally on the cast of the show together. It's not like you're never going to see her again if you don't get her number. But Camille at this party, at this dinner, they're at this Japanese restaurant downtown. Camille's like so uncomfortable around the public school friends. Like they're having this completely normal conversation of like, oh, do you know your New Year's Eve plans yet? And Taylor's like, oh, I'm not sure. And she's like, oh, I have a couple. There's like a party happening in a loft. And they cut to Camille literally looking like they are speaking about doing crystal meth in front of her. She's looking at them like they have three heads. She doesn't tell us what her New Year's plans are. I'm assuming she's like spending it in St. Bart's or something. But it's like, she's like, yeah, I just felt like I was a little bit like outside of the circle here. You know, it was different. Kelly wants to be a singer. She invited Sebastian. Sebastian comes. He hits it off with Taylor instead. I'm like, that won't last once you figure out that she goes to public school. But Kelly is devastated that Sebastian is into Taylor. But then, like, an episode or two later, Taylor's going to, you know, be devastated about something Sebastian does. And in the preview, she's like, warning to all the girls in New York City, do not date Sebastian. They did a great job with this show, honestly. Then Jesse's like obsessed with PC. PC fucking sucks. He's going to dinner with Kelly. Jesse's like doing a really bad job of pretending not to care. Then Taylor's talking to Sebastian. My favorite quote in the whole episode is Taylor telling her mom, I'm not texting, I'm BBMing. We've come so far since 2009. The episode kind of ends when PC is like at this dinner and Kelly and Camille are there, and he's talking to them like they're 5 years old because they're like one grade level under him in school. He's like, wait, sorry, you guys get grounded? You have a lot to learn about life. And like, he's not wrong, but I think he does too. It is kind of, it's like funny to listen to them talk about getting grounded. Cause like Kelly's like, oh yeah, I've been grounded I get grounded constantly. Like I've been getting grounded since I was like six. And Camille's like, oh my God, yeah, me too. But also my groundings have been getting so short lately. Like I did something really bad and I only got grounded for 2 weeks. And PC's just looking at them like they're like the Rugrats. Like he's Angelica and they're like, I don't know, Tommy, Pickles, and Dill. No. Did I fuck up the Rugrats characters? I haven't watched the Rugrats in so long. Phil and Lil. Now I can't think straight. I just remember like Angelica was fierce. She was a bitch and I loved it. But anyway, Camille tells PC that he's being abrasive. And in the confessional, he's like, when Camille told me I was abrasive, it was offensive. Like, did PC invent microaggressions in 2009? How is it offensive that she called you abrasive? Like, you literally are. I just feel strongly that that's, like, his personality in a nutshell. Spring has sprung, and that means it's time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, new warm weather bedding, or a flight for that summer getaway. Other apps give you points that don't amount to much. With Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash back that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know. NYC Prep, ma'am. Should I keep watching it? Should I watch some other vault shows? I think I might dip my toes into Kathy Griffin. I've seen Kathy Griffin in the past. Not all of it, but some of it. But that's good. Real Housewives of DC is like still percolating a little bit for me. I have seen that one maybe a few years ago. Much to consider. But I think, you know, still in the next couple weeks, we're going to have some days where we can talk about some vault shows. So let me know what you're watching, what you're loving, what you're reliving, what feels like a fever dream that you're checking out in the Bravo vault. Because I'll watch some more and get back to you. I want to talk about Top Chef just quickly. So We had our Last Chance Kitchen mid-season finale last week. It's been a couple weeks since I checked in on Top Chef, but the Last Chance Kitchen mid-season finale ended with both Kalina and Sue, this like 16th mystery chef, coming back. So I think last time I talked about Top Chef, I had some misgivings about the way they were handling Last Chance Kitchen this season and the fact that Sue was this kind of like secret ingredient twist. I was a little unsure how I felt about Sue existing within Last Chance Kitchen. And I wasn't, you know, on these shows, it's like, it's so stupid to be like, this isn't fair, but it didn't feel fair. But I think that Kalina and Sue both coming back kind of allayed my fears about that, because it's like, okay, some Last Chance Kitchen still worked out for somebody who was on the show and got sent home. I think it would have felt a little bit icky if Sue was the only person to come out of Last Chance Kitchen, but I do like Sue and he seems to be really good at interpreting these challenges, and so I'm excited to get to see him take on these more robust challenges, if you will. This week's challenge, I was a little bit like, I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it. This chaos cooking. I get the idea of it, but I think it's hard sometimes when you give a challenge on Top Chef that is sort of like more conceptual than food-based. It's similar to a couple weeks ago, the episode, the Frank Lloyd Wright-themed episode where they were at Taliesin. And the challenge was about dualities, and they had to present this dish that had dualities in it, and it was the pears challenge. And some of them were really cool, and some of them it was like, I don't know that I fully see the vision here. And I think with the chaos cooking, it was a little bit similar, where it's like, you can describe something in a way that is like, this is how I interpreted chaos, but it is really subjective. And obviously, I mean, everything about like food and flavor and cooking is subjective to a certain degree. But if the challenge is like you're making a fish dish or you're making like something with pasta, it's a little bit more objective in terms of like, was the pasta good? Or like, was the fish cooked correctly? So I don't know. The chaos thing, seeing Maddie Matheson is really fun. Christina Tosi was on this episode too. They are getting great guest stars. You know, if you were worried at all about people willing to travel to Wisconsin, there was no need for that. I think Brittany Snow is on next week's episode. I'm like, damn, people love Top Chef. People will pull up to wherever they're filming and put in the work. But what was really surprising, though, was that Rossica went home on this week's episode. Because as recently as last week, I felt like Rossica was a front runner this season. She had won a couple different challenges. She seems to be one of the most sort of like talented, but also creative. I think this season of Top Chef, after the World All-Stars sort of like peak of the franchise, I think it's been a little bit of a hit or miss thing, sort of like coming back down to earth, both in the grandeur of the season, but also just like the talent pool of the contestants is not quite where it was last season. And that's to be expected. But I think Rossica was somebody who seemed to be kind of like at the top of the pack. And I know that Top Chef is a show where, like, you know, you can get sent home for one bad dish. And there wasn't a Last Chance Kitchen this week because we started fresh. So, you know, we're waiting for a second person to be sent there. I imagine Rossica will do well in Last Chance Kitchen. I would be very surprised if she fully goes home without a fight. But yeah, I mean, seeing her be sent home really signaled to me that they're not fucking around here. That they are, you know, they're not holding anything back. They're not sort of like moving someone along just because they see potential. And I think that should be like a warning sign to everyone in the competition. I hope that we have a really exciting last half of this season. We still have a ways to go. Obviously, they brought back two from Last Chance Kitchen, but now there's this sort of like mystery lurking somewhere that Kristen Kish said that now they can send two people home sort of whenever they want. It's been a good season. It hasn't been, I think like I was saying, sort of it's a little bit of a predictable coming back down to earth from last season. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that was almost inevitable, but I'm still really enjoying it. I think they do a great job and I can't wait to see where this season takes us. I'll check in again on Top Chef maybe next week, maybe in a couple weeks. But yeah, we'll see where it goes. This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Look, I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. You gotta have one for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash puts the fun and hydration in one. It is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't have to think about what I'm going to reach for when I'm thirsty because obviously it is Splash. Now, I have said before, my favorite flavor is the wild berry, but I am currently sipping on a mandarin orange, and I gotta tell you, it's coming up in a close second. Super refreshing, just that little kick of sweetness, and you know, I know it's gonna be a good day when I've got a Splash Refresher in front of me. Now, today, we are going to talk about which housewives and which housewives-adjacent figures, let's say, are in the splash zone. Who's in the hot seat? Who's making the biggest splash in the Real Housewives universe this week? Who is just on my nerves a little bit and needs a little bit of spritz of something refreshing? Because maybe they're a little bit thirsty. And you know who's in the splash zone this week? Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan. I have talked at length about the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns of Larsa and Marcus's breakup. And I cannot do it anymore. Just last week, I'm saying, look, I think they're done for good. I think they're broken up. And then what do I see? What do I see when I'm on my vacation? Larsa and Marcus together at the beach, holding hands, going for a little walk, sitting in their beach chairs. Larsa's in a swimsuit. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? You're either together or you're not. Or maybe you're doing something for the show. Maybe you're a little thirsty. Maybe you need a little bit of a splash refresher, a little bit of hydration. But the thing with Larsa and Marcus is that I don't really care whether they're together or not. I would like whatever's happening with their relationship to be playing out on the show, which I don't think is happening at the moment, which is frustrating. But the back and forth is a lot to keep up with. And if we're not doing it for the show, then it's taking too much mental energy because, of course, you remember, they first broke up Super Bowl Sunday. Then they were back together a few days later. Then they broke up in March for good. You know, they got to move on. They're figuring their lives out separately. And then all of a sudden last week, they're back. A source is saying that they're figuring things out. What is there to figure out? If you've been together for, what is it, like a year and a half, 2 years, maybe if you count the time that they insisted that they were friends, I would like there to be a little bit more of a concrete narrative of what's going on and the unfollowing, the refollowing. Currently, as of today, I checked 5 minutes ago just to make sure they are not following each other on Instagram. So I don't necessarily believe that they are fully back together, but then also maybe that I'm doing like a devil's advocate thing or like a reverse psychology where I'm like, okay, so if they're hanging out, but they're not following each other, then that means that they're maybe casually together, but not really together. But then maybe they know that if I see that they're following each other, that I'll think that they're back together for good. And do you see what I mean? This is, it's taking up way too much of my mental energy. And I've got to find something better to do with my time, quite frankly. But we'll see. We'll see. I just also, Marcus posted this selfie on his Instagram story 12 hours ago as I'm looking at this right now. It's one of those shirtless selfies where you can tell from, it goes just low enough that you can tell that he's completely naked, is what I'm trying to say. And look, Marcus, great looking guy. But what are we doing here? The song on here is this new Drake song that's like a diss track to Kendrick Lamar. He said, "Get back season is upon us." Is he trying to get Larsa's attention? Is she following him from a burner account? I'm sure she's looking at his stories. But like, I need to know if he's posting this, you know, tasteful nude with the shower faucet in the background. Like, is Larsa sitting in the next room being like, "Baby, come back." Or are they like not speaking anymore? I need the details, and I hate that I need the details, but that doesn't make me want the details any less. So Larsa and Marcus, figure it out. But for now, you're in the splash zone. And you know who else is in my splash zone this week? Who's frustrating me is not a housewife, not anyone on Housewives, but rather some fans and some commenters, because over the weekend, Frank Catania's fiance, Brittany, he's getting remarried. Everybody's happy for him. Dolores is at this bridal shower. They had the bridal shower, Brittany's bridal shower. Melissa was there. Rachel Fuda was there. Dolores was there. As I said, Dolores's mom was there. It seemed like a joyous occasion. And Brittany was wearing a long white strapless dress with some big pearl bead necklaces. She looks great. If you've seen a photo of Brittany, you know her aesthetic. She's Jersey. The hair is big. The dress is big. The pearls are big. That's how she does it. And then I see all these comments from people who just can't be happy. They're like, "Love this, but why is she wearing a wedding dress? Love this, but the hair, what the hair, the dress, the necklace. Can we let a woman live? What are we doing here? This lovely lady is in the happiest moment of her life. And you're like, why is she wearing a long white dress? Sorry, has no one in your life ever gotten married? Because I feel like my timeline is inundated with people at all of their bridal events wearing the most white outfits you've ever seen. It's like, okay, so I need to find something white to wear to my engagement party, to my shower, to every day of my bachelorette party, to my rehearsal dinner, to my wedding ceremony, and then the reception, and then the after party, and then the honeymoon. You're buying like 45 white outfits. Who are you to say that Britney's bridal shower dress is like slightly too bridal? What are we doing here? Get a life. Stay out of her comment section. She's the happiest she's ever been. And then also people are criticizing this photo of Brittany with Dolores and Melissa and Rachel Fuda, and they all look great. Dolores is wearing this beautiful flowy maxi dress. Rachel looks cute. Melissa's wearing this little one shoulder number. And in this photo, the three of them are smiling. And then Melissa Gorga is like serving face a little bit. You know, she's smizing, as one might say. And there's all these comments that are like, "Melissa can't just look happy. Melissa always thinking it's about her. Melissa, blah, 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 blah." Sometimes you just don't want to smile that big. Maybe she was, I don't know, maybe there was something in her teeth. Probably really not. You know, I don't think there was something in her teeth. But it's like the level to which people nitpick everything. Who cares? They're all together. They're there to support. They all look great. Just we gotta cut down on the nitpicking in the comments. And look, I love to be a little shady. I love to call people out on their mess. But when you're posting a happy, lovely photo, and your first reaction is like, "She's not smiling big enough. She clearly didn't want to be there." Give it a rest. Give it a rest. And we have a new season of Real Housewives of New Jersey coming back in what? A week and a half? Two weeks? I don't, what is time? It's very soon. We can't be doing this the whole season. We can't be picking and picking and picking. And yet I know we will. Well, not we. Not I. Never me. I just, that's the thing that really, you know, gets my goat is can we just take something at face value and enjoy it and then talk about it and then move on with our lives? Take a sip of your hydrating beverage and just keep it moving. It's not that deep. It doesn't need to be that deep. Whether you're trying to look cute in a photo at your friend's bridal shower, or whether you're trying to figure stuff out with your ex or maybe your current boyfriend, I don't know. Just take a sip, take a break, take a moment, and just get it together. But anyway, that's the Splash Zone for this week. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Leave the sugary flavor packets and syrups behind and make Splash Refresher your go-to hydrator. Available in 5 craveable flavors, it has zero sugar, zero calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again. Now I got to get going so I can finish my delicious Mandarin Orange Splash Refresher, and you can consider your hydrated self thriving once you do the same. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. That's all for today. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Let me know in a comment, in a DM, in a 5-star review, what Bravo Vault shows you're watching, loving, which ones I should check out next, what you want me to talk about on the show. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Betches.